Well, thank you, Mike. Good morning, and Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for being here, and it's good to see everyone this morning. Pastor Shipe is on vacation, as you might have guessed, here over the holidays. You can pray for him. I think they are traveling back tomorrow, and I haven't bugged him. I know he goes several places while he's on vacation, but I think he's driving back from Maryland, and so you can be in prayer for him as he travels back. Let me just do this as we get started. I'm just interested to know, by a show of hands, put your hand up if you had a lovely Merry Christmas and it was just a really good time. Okay, good. Keep your hand up if you know you ate way too much. And okay, hands are up. Okay, keep your hand up if your in-laws have you stressed out right now. Wow, that hand was up a long time. Okay. I don't think your husband saw anything, to be honest with you. So, no, anyway, I hope you did have a Merry Christmas, and I hope you're having a Happy New Year, and that it goes well for you today, but thank you for being here. So glad to be with you today. I'm very privileged to be able to stand up here and present the Word of God and study the Word of God with you, and most of you know that I speak to teenagers a lot, and I love speaking to teenagers. I hope I can do that for a long time. We do have, let's just be honest, we do have the best group of teenagers in this church that anyone could ever ask for. They're troublemakers, and that's exactly the way we like it. That's the way it needs to stay. But it's great, and it's a wonderful thing. And I used to always get nervous whenever I'd speak in front of adults, and I still do get nervous a little bit, and so you have to forgive me for that. But one thing has helped me, and that's that that I figured something out about adults, and that's that adults are teenagers. They just have a few wrinkles. That's the only difference. That's the only difference there. And so as long as I keep that visualization in my head, I can do okay. Today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a man who we all know very, very well, and his name is Paul, the Apostle Paul. We all know him, we've all studied him, and but I want to take a look this morning for a few minutes at just at the change that took place in him, really. There was a huge change from when he accepted Christ as Savior till the day he passed from this life on to the next. There was a huge heart change that took place in him. And the Bible speaks about it. And it's a wonderful thing to take a look at. But what I really want to focus on today is how, as his heart changed, the view that he had on the life that the Lord gave him here on earth, as his heart changed, his view on his life changed with it. Totally did a 180, and I want to look at that change today, and just see how wonderful it is, and just really challenge us to look at that. You talk about New Year's resolutions. Everybody talks about them right now. People were talking about them yesterday. You talk about them today. New Year's resolutions. In fact, my wife said to me just yesterday, she was asking me, hey, she said, are you going to go to the gym today? And I don't know why she would ask me a question like that, first of all. But she did. She asked me, are you going to go to the gym today? And I said, you know what? It's Saturday. It's New Year's Eve. I'm like, no, I won't go to the gym today. Maybe I'll go on Monday. And she said, well, are you sure you want to do that? Because Monday, the gym is probably going to be full of New Year's resolution people. And I said, yes, that's probably true, but I'm thinking by Wednesday, it will probably have cleared out quite a bit by then. So, because you all know how that goes. But I'll tell you, if you want to look at a New Year's resolution, and if I want to look at a New Year's resolution, I'll tell you what, here's one right here. To really take a look at our hearts and see, how do I view my life? Do I view it the way the Apostle Paul viewed his? And really challenge ourselves with that. And I challenge you to do that today and maybe take this into the new year. Maybe you've never thought about your life like this before. Maybe you have thought about this on occasion. Maybe this is something that you want to do, but you struggle with. Whatever the case might be, take a look at this today as we look at it and be challenged by it and see what the Holy Spirit talks to you about as you enter into this new year. And so, and you know, we talked about it in the deacons' meeting this morning. It is going to be a good year, and the Lord's going to do a lot of wonderful things. But title of the message today is The Outlook on Life from a Man Who Possessed the Heart of Christ. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll dive into this. Philippians 2, 17 and 18. Father, we just want to come before you just this one last time. I want to acknowledge that I need you, that I can't do this without you. And I want to ask that you would truly speak through me today. Speak your word to us. And I just want to ask that your Holy Spirit would come on to us as a church family, that Father, that you would convict our hearts, challenge our hearts, encourage our hearts, do whatever it is that our hearts need you to do today through the preaching of your word. Thank you for the opportunity. May you be with us now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you aren't already there, go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at just two verses this morning, verses 17 and 18. And before we jump into these verses, let me just give us just a little bit of background just to catch us all up on what's going on so we can move forward together here into these verses, okay? In verses 1 through 13, what the Apostle Paul has been talking about in Philippians chapter 2 is the process of sanctification. That's been his topic. That's what he's been going over. And he's been explaining what it is to be sanctified, for the believer to be sanctified. And he really explains what his heart is on this. And it's really here's what it is to be sanctified. It's for you and I to put on the mind of Christ. And really what that means whenever you study that is just that we have the same heart attitude that Jesus Christ had whenever he was here on earth. That's what it is. All right. And he really jumps into that in verses 5 through 8, where he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And with one statement, you can sum up what those verses say right there. All right? And this is a statement that you've all heard before. It's been used from this pulpit before. Here it is. Here's those verses summed up. Jesus Christ had this kind of attitude. I'm not alive for me. I'm alive for God's glory and for the good of other people. That was his attitude. He was a loving, humble servant. And you can say a lot about that. You can dive into that deeply if you want to. But that was his heart attitude. And as you and I are sanctified, as the Holy Spirit works on our hearts, that's what he is working to mold us into little by little until the day we die. Now, not perfectly, not entirely. And the Apostle Paul didn't have this down perfectly and entirely. He was not without sin, just like you and I are not without sin. But this is who we are to continually become like. Just a loving, humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who lives out this phrase, I'm not alive for me. I'm alive for God's glory and for the good of others. That's it. All right? That's sanctification. Now, you and I, now then he goes on in the next couple of verses to say that we're also to work hard at this. All right? Even though the Holy Spirit is doing this to us, it's something that we need to work at. And now don't get me wrong, the glory does go to God ultimately. All right? And he says in verse number 13, he says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So don't get the wrong message here, okay? God gets all the glory for this. For your changed heart, for my changed heart, as we look more and more like Jesus Christ as we're here on earth, as he changes us, it's only through the power of God that we are changed. It's only through him working in our lives that we are changed. All the glory goes to him. However, we're not off the hook just because of that. And he says in verse number 12, he gives us our responsibility. He says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, let's just get that right away, okay? He's not saying work for your salvation. Okay, that's not the message there. God has given you salvation as a gift, as a free gift. So he's not saying work for your salvation. He's not saying work to improve your salvation. It's got nothing to do with that. God has given you perfect salvation. What he is saying is, because God has made you his child, because you've accepted him as Savior, he's changed you, made you his child. What he's saying is now you have the ability and the opportunity to have the heart of Jesus Christ, and you are to give great effort in that process to work at where your heart needs to change. That's the message there. All right, so that's what he's going after. This is the process of sanctification. We are to demonstrate a transformed life in our behavior. We are to work at living out the phrase, I'm not alive for me, I'm alive for God's glory and for others' good. Let me say this very quickly. The Apostle Paul goes on then in verses 14 through 16 to give three things that are going to happen if this is happening to you. Okay, and here are these three things. I'm just going to go over them quickly. We will become the kind of children that God is pleased with and that he desires us to be. We will be a bright light in the world, and we will bring joy to the individual or individuals who invested spiritually in our lives, because their time won't be wasted, okay? So there are the things that he then quickly goes over to say, this is what will happen if this is true about you and if this is true about me. So let me say this. Did you catch all that? Because now we're up here at verses 17 and 18, okay? So now he's going to go on. Now, this is how far, what he's about to jump into here in verses 17 and 18 is, this is how far a believer will go when their heart looks like the heart of Jesus Christ, when they've been changed into this. This is actually how far this believer is going to be willing to go in their life. This is the view they're going to have. So here we go. Verses 17 and 18. Point number one today. The sanctified life leads to a sacrificed life. The sanctified life leads to a sacrificed life. Verse number 17, let's just read the first part of it there. The Apostle Paul says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. Now, right before we tear that apart just a little bit, I just want to make one comment here so that we're all together as we dive into this. I'm going to give you just a little bit of a Greek lesson. You up for a Greek lesson? Okay, I know school's out, but just put your thinking caps on here for me, okay? Here's the language that the Apostle Paul is using here, okay? When he says, I am to be poured out as a drink offering, he uses the Greek present tense. And what that simply means is, whatever he is referring to here, whatever he's talking about, is something that's going on right now, presently. All right? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to go on in the future, although it very well might. It doesn't necessarily mean that it was going on in the past, although it very well may have been happening in the past. What he's referring to here is something that's going on right now, presently. So you could really restate what he just stated and say it kind of like this. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering, and I am, by the way. All right? It'd be like me. My daughter actually said this to me the other day. She looked at me as only little girls can look at a dad. Yeah, you know, guys, like little boys can't do this. My son has no power here. But Casey does. She looked up at me and she said this. She goes, Daddy, will you ever leave me? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got you. And it would be like me answering her like this, if I would look back at her and say, Casey, even if it costs me every dollar I ever made to keep you, and it does, by the way, all right? Presently, I know you don't care, but it just does my heart good to tell you that it does, by the way, okay? No, I will never send you away, all right? So that's the kind of language that Paul is using here, okay? That's the idea. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering, and I am. Okay, this is something that's going on very presently. Now, before we jump into that, let's jump into this. what does he mean exactly by this drink offering? Okay, let me explain this so that we all know where we're going, okay? The Apostle Paul compares himself and his life, really, to a drink offering. Now, what is a drink offering? Well, here it is. The Philippians would have understood this, probably would have understood this right away, but let's all of us understand this. What the drink offering was when it was when you had a sacrifice. And by the way, this was practiced in both Jewish and pagan sacrifices, okay? Whenever you were making a sacrifice to a deity, and you had the sacrifice there, you had the animal, you had killed the animal was on the altar, and you would set it on fire. It was burning. When it was burning, when everything was red hot, what they would do oftentimes is they would take a liquid, and in the book of Hosea, we have an example of it being wine. And according to a lot of Bible scholars out there, this is probably what it was most of the time. They would take wine and they would pour it over the altar. And the altar was red hot. And some of you know what this does, and some of you have fun with this on occasion, where you know something's hot and you pour it on and it just goes and it evaporates. That's what would happen. They would pour that wine on the altar, it would evaporate immediately. And what it was to do was to symbolize that sacrifice going up into the nostrils of the deity that it was being offered to. Okay, that was the idea there of the drink offering. So that's the drink offering. Now, get what the Apostle Paul is saying here, because this is truly unbelievable. Here's a man who's been changed. And he is literally saying that my life, that I am willingly offering my life as a drink offering to the Lord. It's a drink offering. I'm literally offering it. It's a sacrifice. It's totally a sacrifice. I'm not alive for me. I'm totally not alive for me. This life isn't about me. He had totally come to the realization of who he was. And you and I need to do the exact same thing as we go through this life, as our heart is changed. Here's exactly what had happened. He totally had gotten the grip on who he was compared to God. He had compared himself, and he had humbled himself. He had said, you know what, God, I take a look at you, and I understand who you are. Limited, of course, but I'm gaining an understanding of who you are. And I understand that you are high, and that you are mighty, and that you are omnipotent, that you're omniscient, that you hold all power, that you are the creator of all things. I'm getting a firm grip on this. You're the creator of all. You're the power over all. That's who you are. And then I look at myself. And I understand who I am. And compared to you, I'm not much. I'm not anything for that matter. I am nothing but a sinner in desperate need of your saving grace. That's who I am. And because of who you are, and because I am so thankful for who you are and what you have done for me, here's the only thing that I can do, and that's to lay my life out as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, for you to do whatever it is you're going to do with it. To simply bring glory to your name and to carry out your work of the Great Commission. That is what I am doing. That's what he means when he says, my life is a drink offering to the Lord. That's it. I'm not alive for me. I'm alive for God's glory and for and to bring goodness into the lives of other people by spreading the gospel to them. Do we look at our lives like this? Is this how I view my life? Is this how you view your life? I'm nothing but an offering back to the Lord. This is who I am. Because I understand who I am, how can I do anything but present myself back to God as just a living sacrifice for Him? This is who I am. And the Apostle Paul understood this. Am I genuinely and compassionately committed to Jesus Christ? and to the work that He has called me to? Am I this genuinely and passionately committed to it as the Apostle Paul? Do I view my life this way? Am I someone who literally lives out, I'm not alive for me? I'm alive for God's glory, and that's all. That's it. That's what he's talking about whenever he says that my life is a drink, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering. Now let's move on to point number two. Now this continues to get better. This continues to get better here. Look at the attitude of Paul. Point number two is the sanctified life is the humble life. Now I'm very well aware that this humility thing is not new to any of us, okay? We've all heard this before. I don't need to just sit here and just bang over the head with this, okay? That's not what I'm here to do. But it is here again. The Apostle Paul has been talking about this term humility ever since he started talking to us in Philippians chapter 2, since the beginning. And it's here again, so let's acknowledge it here for a minute, okay? The sanctified life is the humble life. The Apostle Paul is a changed man. He's not a perfect man, but his attitude has been changed and his outlook on his life has been changed. Check out his humility. Look at verse number 17 there. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. Now here's the challenge. Do I do this? And do you do this? Here's what he's saying. In other words, yes, this is me. Yes, I have done this. This is the Apostle Paul talking. Yes, this is me totally, that I have humbled myself, that I understand who I am whenever I'm compared to the Lord, and that is what has driven me to lay my life out as a living sacrifice on the altar back to the Lord for Him to use for His glory, okay? So that's me, but I'm going to point out something now. He points back to the Philippians. After he has just used himself as an example, he points back to the Philippians and says, but you know what? You have done the exact same thing. You have done the exact same thing. Now look at the humility of Paul here. Paul points back to the Philippians and points to the fact that they were giving their lives for the glory of God and the Great Commission as well. And he calls it the offering of your faith. Now, whenever he uses that word offering, that he uses the Greek word there, liturgia, and it literally carries the idea of public ministry service. The Philippians were reaching into their community. They were reaching into their community with their faith, talking to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, probably discipling people. That's literally what he's saying is going on here, okay? You guys have done the same thing. You've laid your lives down as a sacrifice back to the Lord as well, and you're carrying out ministry in your community. And by the way, the Bible talks about, I believe it's in Philippians chapter 1, that this was not a cakewalk for the Philippians. This was not a cakewalk for them. Paul talks about, I believe it's back in chapter 1, where they had opponents coming against them. This wasn't something that was just, you know, that they were doing, and it was just the easiest thing in the world. That's not the case at all. They were being persecuted. They had opponents coming against them as they were doing this. And he says, in spite of that, in spite of the suffering times, in spite of maybe some of the good times that you've gone through, here's what you guys are doing too. Now look at this. Remember the drink offering we just talked about? Paul had compared himself as the drink offering, the simple topping off of the main sacrifice, of the picture of the sacrifice that he was illustrating with here. Look at who he names as the main sacrifice. Look at verse 17 again. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. He names the Philippians as the main sacrifice. In other words, here's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? Yes, I have done this. Yes, my life is an offering unto the Lord. Yes, it's a sacrifice. I've been humbled and my heart's been changed in order for that to happen. But let me tell you, compared to you guys, Compared to you guys, compared to what the Lord is doing through you and your sacrifice back to Him, as I compare myself to that, I look at myself as nothing, as absolutely nothing compared to what you guys are doing for the cause of Jesus Christ. He looks at them. He looks at them. He says, you know what? What you are doing is so much more significant than what I'm doing. That's how I look at it. How many of us would do that? Would I do that? How many times do I like to look at what's going on with me? Right? Look at me. Look at what God is doing in my life. Look at what He's accomplished through me because I've laid my life out. Isn't that what we like to do a lot of times? This is the Apostle Paul bringing this up. How many of you know the names of the Philippian people that he's talking about right here? You know who they are? You know who Paul, now you know who the Apostle Paul is, right? The one who's gone down in history as the person that God has used in so many awesome, huge, big ways. And yet he says this, he says, here's my attitude. My attitude is, compared to you, I count myself as extremely insignificant. Do you count yourself that way? Do I count myself that way? What a challenge. And the Apostle Paul's doing a wonderful job of living out what he said in Philippians 2, verse number 3, where he said to the Philippians, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. He says, I'm a drink offering, just the topping off of your amazing sacrifice of your lives to the Lord. People, we're going to wrap this up here in just a couple of minutes, but let me ask us this. Are we alive for ourselves? Do I live for me? Or am I, is my life, this one and only life that I have, the one and only life that God has given, how many times do we hear this from people all over the place? It's my life. It's my life. I want to do things. I want to do things, right? I got stuff that I want to do. How many times do we look at ourselves this way and say, man, God, as I compare myself to you, as I become more and more thankful for what you've done for me, and as you change me to become more and more like your son Jesus Christ, I want to view myself this way. I want to view my life this way. That you know what? I am a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to you. Which is my what? Reasonable service. Reasonable service to you. Take my life. Glorify yourself with it. Don't bring glory to me. Bring glory to yourself. That's what this life is all about. As the Apostle Paul was changed to become like Jesus Christ. I'm a humble servant of the Lord. Point number 3 in our last point today. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. But point number 3 is the sanctified life is the joy-filled life. How many of us like joy? How many of us want to be filled with joy? I mean, we talk about joy over the holidays, right? You know? We want to be filled with joy. We want our hearts to be filled with joy. But let me just say this. This is the time of year where there's a lot of happiness that floats around, okay? There's a lot of happy occasions, okay, that float around, except for the person who just admitted that their in-laws had them stressed out. I don't know how it's going to go for you. But this is where, this is a happy time of year. Happy circumstances for the most part. But it's totally different from joy. It's totally different from joy. Happiness will come and go with what you go through, with what God allows to come into your life as you lay your life out on the offering for Him, okay? These things are going to come and go. Different things are going to come and go. But no matter what, but as I offer my life as an offering to the Lord, here's the thing, that no matter what kind of times come my way, that I am just a sacrifice to the Lord in good times. We go through good times where things are good, ministry goes good, people get saved, and they get saved without a lot of pushback, and it's just a joyful kind of time, right? And people are discipled. I'm discipled. I come to know the Lord more and more, better and better, and that's awesome. We go through times like that. And we also go through times of pretty much, I believe, what the Philippians were going through right here. Times of when things just don't go extremely well. And there's pushback as you serve the Lord. And people push back. People don't want it. You get rejected. Things of that nature. In fact, some, and you know what? Some people have even been asked to put their lives in danger and even give up their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. This is how far your life goes as it's changed for the glory of God. This is it. We go through all kinds of these times, but as we go through these times, look at what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, no matter what happens, I am simply an offering, a willing sacrifice to the Lord. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Now, Paul includes the Philippians here. Because by the grace of God, we have been sanctified and brought to the point where we were humbly willing to lay our lives on the altar as a living sacrifice to God for Him, to use for His service and glory, we have joy. And we share in this same joy together. As we're on the same altar together to the Lord for the glory of God, we have joy. We share this joy. Now, let me just say this. This word joy that he uses comes from the root word kara, and it simply means to delight in the Lord, and carries with it the idea of inward delight and satisfaction and fulfillment of your soul that only God can do. Only God can do this. Let me ask you this, and I say this as we close. Do you have this joy just overflowing in your heart? Do you understand what this is? This inward delight of your heart. Inward delight, fulfillment, satisfaction. Do you have this? Or has it been a while since you've experienced this? Let me say this. You're not going to find it in your spouse. We look for it in a lot of places. You're not going to find it in your spouse. You're not going to find it in your children. You're not going to find it in your job. You're not going to find it in extended family. You're not going to find it in owning a nice house, owning a nice car, being the most popular kid at school. We're not going to find it in these places. This joy that he's talking about is only found where God designed it to be found. And that's in a heart that has been changed to look like the heart of Jesus Christ. The heart that says, I'm not alive for me, I'm alive for God's glory and for the good of other people. The life that says, because of who God is and what He's done for me, my life, I can do none other but give my life back to the Lord as a living sacrifice. To be used for His glory and His glory alone, no matter whatever happens to me. This is the message of Paul. This is how far the Holy Spirit had brought him. Let me say this as we close. How far has the Holy Spirit brought you? How far has He brought me? As we enter into this new year, what is your life to you? What is my life to me? Do we view it as the Apostle Paul did? That it's a living sacrifice back to the Lord to be used for His glory. I'm not alive for me. I'm alive for God's glory and for the good of other people. Let's bow our heads as we close. Right before we pray, I just want to just ask a couple of questions as the piano plays. And let me just ask this. What has the Holy Spirit said to you today? And I just want you to, I just want to ask that you would pay attention to Him and that you would listen to Him. That has He said to you, this hasn't been the view of your life. You haven't viewed your life this way. And it's time to. Or has He said, you know what? This is your view on your life. It's been a struggle for you back and forth. We need to work on a few things. Has He said that to you? Whatever He's saying to you, I just want to ask you to pay attention to Him. And to listen to what He says. To listen to where He's leading your heart. As He continues to change all of us for His glory. And to become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And let me say this. If you're in here today and you had no idea what was being said. And as we came to the final topic there where we talked about joy. How this kind of a life is what brings ultimate fulfillment. Because God has created it that way. And if you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't know that I've ever had that. I'm not even sure who this God is that I'm supposed to be serving. You know what? We'd love to talk to you about that. We'd love to explain to you who this God is that we worship, that we've come to love so very much. And so I just want to, so I'm not going to call anybody forward today, but I just want to give us a moment as the piano plays just to examine our hearts, to talk to the Lord for a minute or two, and to do what He is leading you to do, to make the necessary changes right now that He's leading you to make. Talk to the Lord for a minute. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for this morning. Thank You for Your word that You have given to us and what it teaches us and what it says. Father, I just want to ask for each one that as we go about our merry ways here in just a few minutes, that You would keep each one. And Father, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know You as Savior, dear Lord, I just want to ask that they would seek out somebody, that they would do that with everything within them, that they would seek You out. And that You would provide someone in their lives very quickly, very soon, that would share them the good news of what You have done for us. Father, we love You, and we pray all these things in Your most precious name. Amen.